So have you ever been in a situation where someone is praying for you and it just seems like the words that they pray for you hit the target, even though maybe you didn't share all the details of your life with them? Or maybe you have been praying and you have this specific word or an image or a phrase that kind of comes to mind and you're not quite sure what to do with it. Or maybe you've been in a situation where you just sense something is off and you can't quite put your finger on it, but something's wrong. We often find ourselves in situations where we need wisdom, we need counsel, we just need a word of encouragement because we're coming discouraged and we're longing for God to speak to us. And sometimes we hear things and we're wondering if it's God or not, and we don't know what to do with it. Through all of the different situations that we face in life, sometimes it's hard not to feel alone and feel like we kind of have to figure this out all by ourselves. About 10 years ago, I was part of a leadership program called Arrow Leadership, and I went into this program with a lot of questions in my mind. And some of them were related to, you know, what should I do next in my calling? Is God calling me out of where I am, and where would He be calling me to? And I was also kind of entangled in some just difficult things that were going on in the church that we were part of. So all these questions are really, you know, causing a lot of anxiety for me. I felt like I was carrying the weight of a lot of things. And so I was sitting with my mentor who'd been assigned to me, and Steve just listened prayerfully. He listened carefully to the things that I was saying, and then he had these very piercing eyes. And he just looked at me and he said, what is it that makes you feel that you're responsible for all those things? And for me, that just like dropped on me, like, oh, I had never thought about it that way before. And him saying that to me began to lift the weight that was on my shoulders and put it back on God. A little later in that program, I was kind of, you know, some of that stuff with the church had been sorted out, and I felt like I was free of lots of that kind of thing. But I was still asking these questions of like, God, where are you leading me? Like, what's next? I can serve where I am, but is there something else? And they sent us out with a passage of scripture, Isaiah 43, and just said, here, meditate on this. And I just was kind of reading it. And at one point, as I read one of those scriptures, it just jumped out at me and spoke to me so clearly as permission, I guess, to sort of set aside where I had been and to begin looking for something else. And I came home from Arrow with this sense that God's leading me somewhere else. And two or three weeks later, Rob Thiessen phoned and said, hey, let's talk about North Langley Community Church. And God opened a door. So these are some of the experiences that I've had that where just a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge has kind of come into my life. So how does the church discern God's path for us? We're given the scriptures as our clear guide, absolutely, but there's so many specifics about our lives that the Bible doesn't have a verse to tell us, you know, what to do. Should we buy this house? Should we move to Edmonton? Should we, you know, whatever the thing, should I marry that person? Like, you can't look up a verse for that. So how do I know what God is asking me to do? Many times we just have to act responsibly, informed by scripture, informed by the counsel of people around us, but like, what do we do? And we long for maybe a word that would just nudge us in the right direction. But if we receive that kind of word, how would we know that it was legit and not just some weird idea that we've cooked up for ourselves? These are challenging questions that we have, and this is what we're diving into today. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me? God of our Lord Jesus Christ, our glorious Father, we ask you to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. Amen. Well, we're 5 weeks into our series, The Gift of the Spirit, experiencing the life, love, and power of God together. And we've been learning that the Holy Spirit is, as Gordon Fee describes it, God's empowering presence. This is God giving us Himself. The Holy Spirit is a He, not an it. The Spirit lives in those who trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, and He dwells among His people when we gather together and as we move about the earth. The Apostle Paul writes, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom He has given to us. In another place, Paul writes that the Holy Spirit is God's guarantee to us now of the eternal life that we will share with God in the age to come. But even though we are given the Spirit, we're still encouraged to be filled with the Spirit, to yield more and more of our lives up to God. And so we experience a sense of God's love, of spiritual vitality, of growth in character, of empowerment for serving. And all of these are God giving us Himself, our gracious, generous Lord, given to us. O God, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know You better. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 8 and verse 10 says this. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, distinguishing between spirits. Today, we're talking about the wisdom gifts. A message or a word of wisdom, a message or a word of knowledge, and distinguishing between spirits. Wisdom is an important characteristic of who God is and how God operates. If you think back to creation, in the first chapters of the Bible, we're told that the Holy Spirit was active in creating the universe. In John chapter 1, we're told that Jesus, the Word of God, was also active in creation. We also read in Proverbs 3, it says, by wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, He set the heavens in place. By His knowledge, the watery depths were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. You can see that God has woven wisdom into the whole fabric of the universe. Everything runs on the wise counsel, the wise structuring that God has placed there. And Romans 1 tells us that as we look at these things, they tell us about God Himself, about His character. So trying to understand this wisdom that runs the universe, that plays out in all the fabric of the universe, has occupied our time since the beginning. Well, in the church in Corinth, whose letter we're going to be reading today, this preoccupation with wisdom was something that was really important to them. And in fact, if a person could explain the wisdom of the world in some way, that was like the path to instant celebrity status there. Now, the trouble was that Corinth was evaluating people's credibility on the basis of how articulate they were. You know, were they eloquent? Did they learn from the right speaker? Did they look good? Did they have the right suit? Did they wear the right shoes? Like, this is that kind of thing, that they were evaluating the wisdom of someone. And that preoccupation with connecting with the right celebrity was dividing the church instead of building them up. So this is one of the problems that Paul had to address as he wrote to the church in Corinth. So I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And life groups are going to be looking at a little bit larger chunk than what I'm going to speak on today. But I just want to point you to these verses in chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Paul says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Well, Well, Paul tells us a few things very clearly in this passage that help us clue into what wisdom, the role that wisdom has among us. First, he wants to tell us that the wisdom of the world is insufficient for the kingdom of Jesus. He said in verse 12, "What we've received is not the spirit of the world." So what is the spirit of the world? 1 John 2:16 describes it as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Earthly wisdom is what got God in the flesh crucified, which is not really what we're supposed to be doing when God comes among us. And as you think about how this might show up in our lives today, it might look like running the church on the basis of corporate, you know, business and marketing strategies alone. It looks like power games and comparison and entitlement among celebrity leaders. It looks like the language of rights. It looks like the unaddressed mistreatment of women and vulnerable people. It looks like the prosperity gospel. It looks like racism dividing the church, or like Christian nationalism that's capitalizing on people's fears. This kind of wisdom does not have a place in the new creation, in the kingdom of Jesus. The wisdom of the world and the world's way of solving these things is irrelevant and totally insufficient to the kingdom of God. And I'm not saying we can't learn things from God's common grace to the world, but we're called out of these things that divide and into the way of Jesus. You see, instead of coming in power the way people expected him to come, God came in the person of Jesus and allowed himself to be crucified. That turns everything that human beings expect is going to happen completely on its head. And now, with the resurrection of Jesus, through the power of the Spirit, we live in new creation. And the old ways of being, the old ways of dividing people, the old ways of figuring problems out don't cut it. So it's totally insufficient. The second thing Paul says is that we cannot know God's mind unless he shares it with us. Paul says, "Who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them?" In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. If I ever want to learn how to read the Hebrew text of the Old Testament, I'm going to have to talk to my friend Dirk, who's a professor of Hebrew, because I am not going to figure this out on my own, right? If I have a complicated account that I need to balance, I'm going to talk to my friend Cal, who's a, you know, knows how to do accounting, because it's a total mystery to me. And in the same way, only God can explain how God works in a world where a dead person can be raised from the dead. How can we dare to think that we know how things run in God's new creation unless God discloses himself to us? So, are we left with an insurmountable problem? Paul says, no, we aren't stuck. God has given us himself. We can know God's mind because we have the Spirit. He says, "What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us." Down in verse 15, he says, "But we have the mind of Christ." This is something to rejoice in as God's people. God has disclosed himself to us. He has revealed his wisdom to us. The mind of Christ is the foolishness of the cross. Self-sacrifice, forgiveness, reconciliation with enemies, power and weakness, hiddenness, sharing in our sufferings. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of that kind of stuff is crazy talk in the world. But in the new creation, in the places where the Spirit is moving, this is God's wisdom, and he has been delighted to share this with us. Aren't we desperate to have this kind of wisdom poured into our lives in these confusing, complicated days. That's why we benefit from these gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. To one there is given through the Spirit a word or a message or an utterance of wisdom, and a word or a message or an utterance of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, the interesting thing is neither of these are defined for us in the Scriptures besides Paul just mentioning it here. And so we're kind of trying to figure out what they mean from experience and from other things that we see in Scripture. We can certainly imagine that as the Corinthian church met, people would maybe get up and speak or utter a message for the church, and sometimes those words would just hit the target, and they would know God has spoken to us. We're hearing from God here. And maybe in other times, it's a bit confusing. But Paul's saying, when the Spirit comes, He wants you to know you're not alone, and He's giving you His wisdom. Maybe you can think of a time when something was spoken from the pulpit and it just like hit you straight between the eyes, and there's no way that the preacher could have known what was going on in your life. Or maybe you're in life group and you share a need, and as someone prays, just the way they phrase it speaks to you and speaks to things that you've never spoken out loud to anyone. Maybe a mentor that you've been sitting with has just spoken a word that helps put pieces together in your confusing life that you just had not considered before. Or maybe you were in a meeting and you're trying to figure things out and where to go, and then somebody speaks a word that breaks the impasse and you're able to make a decision together. In those moments, as the Spirit speaks wisdom to us, we come to know that we're not alone. That God loves us, that God through the Spirit is with us. Oh God, give us the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know You better. I want to just share a few of my own experiences. These are not the only way God works, but this is kind of the way that I've experienced it in my own life. About 20 years ago, I went to a worship conference, and I was just at a point where I'd been stretched very thin in the ministry that I was part of, and I was very tired, so hungry to hear from God. And as I was sitting there in one of the sessions, a speaker named Tricia McCrary Rhodes was speaking, and it was about the love of God. And she said this phrase, and you're going to laugh at this. This is very much the way my brain works. But she said this phrase. She said, God's love is His desire and determination to display His glory in us and through us for His exaltation and our joy. I know it's long, but my mind loves stuff like that. So that phrase just sort of grabbed me, and I was like, I have never heard God's love defined that way before. So I scribbled it down in my journal, and went on with the day. And later that evening, I came back to it, and I knew I just kind of had to reflect on this phrase. And as I just journaled, God, what are You saying to me? I sense You saying these things. Suddenly my heart opened up to God in a new way, and I experienced the power and the love and the acceptance of God in a way I had never experienced before in my life, and I found myself just weeping. And that phrase, that understanding of God's love as His desire and determination to display His glory in me and through me for His exaltation and my joy, has been an anchor point for my life. Another time a few years ago, Cindy and I were going through a very challenging time in our family life, and we came to Matthew for some prayer and just to ask for counsel. And as we were praying, God gave Matthew this picture of a train, and we were running down toward the back of the train in the aisles as the train barreled forward. And it was just this picture. He said, I don't know what this means, but for us, part of what it said to us was, I know you feel like you don't know where to run, and you're running in maybe it feels like life's going the wrong direction, not the direction you wanted, but the Holy Spirit, you're on the Holy Spirit's train, you're going to get where you need to go. And by God's grace, that train took us where we needed to go, and God was faithful to us in the midst of these difficult times. I was talking with, Cindy was talking with Ashlyn, our daughter, this week about this question of words, and Ashlyn remembered a time when we were on our missions trip in Benin in 2019, and one of our team members, in a team time that we had, just spoke out this phrase, Everyone is looking for the kingdom of God. And she told Cindy this week that that phrase has stuck with her. And she said, I can't get through a single day without thinking about that phrase when I interact with people. It was this word that was just kind of, it nailed her, it hit her, and it meant something really meaningful to her. And one final story. When Cindy and I were engaged, we went back to my hometown to visit, and a friend from high school and her husband said, we really feel like God is asking us to come and pray with you. And so they came over, and we were praying together, and then he said, I have this picture of mountains and kind of a delta kind of around the mountains, and there's this light, and I believe you guys are the light, and that light is going to shine out from that place. And it just kind of right away painted a picture in my mind of the Lower Mainland, and you know, that's only one part of how God spoke to us, but that picture in my mind has been a very key part of my conviction that God has asked us to put roots down in this city and to do ministry and follow his calling here and not be kind of constantly looking around for other things. And these are just some of the ways that kind of a word has come to me or to my family. I can certainly name a lot of other times when maybe I've been in a mentoring conversation with someone and I speak something that just kind of came off the top of my head and the other person just goes, whoa, I never thought about that before. And that's happened for me too, and I've sat with a mentor and those kinds of things have happened. It's not usually spectacular. Like, I've never had someone stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, you know, and suddenly this great word comes down. It just happens in the course of conversation or in the time of prayer. Maybe someone just says, does this mean anything to you? And just to be honest, too, I can also think back to some times where I said some really dumb things that I thought were wise at the time, and I'm really hoping that people did not take my counsel, because I shudder sometimes to think maybe back to some of those things. So, you know, it's never perfect. But all of these are times when God said to me, I see you, you're not alone, here's a little bit of wisdom for your journey. Well, what about the word of knowledge? Well, in God's new creation, where dead people can come back to life, there's certainly things that we can't get involved in unless the Spirit brings us in on it. And this, I think, is where the word or message of knowledge probably comes in. Scholars aren't completely united on what this means. Craig Keener would say that it's a gift for teaching the truths of the gospel with a unique authority. But others, like Gordon Fee and Sam Storms, would say, yeah, that's true, but also, I think there are times when the Holy Spirit gives us specific knowledge about a situation that they wouldn't have known otherwise. We see this in the Bible when Daniel knows the details of Nebuchadnezzar's prayer, even though Nebuchadnezzar wasn't willing to tell him what they were. We see Jesus, full of the Spirit, able to know the thoughts of his, you know, the people that are confronting him. And in the book of Acts, you see Peter knowing that Ananias and Sapphira are misrepresenting the gift they're bringing to the church. On a little more personal level, and this is kind of funny, when our son was about 5, he was chatting with a neighbor just out in our neighborhood, and he said, my mom's going to have 2 babies. And at the time, we didn't know we were pregnant. So it was kind of new information to us. And yet, we found out in not too long that we were in fact pregnant, and in fact there were 2. So I don't know if that was a word from the Lord, but it was interesting to find out that information and for the Lord to sort of say, I see you, I really do see things that you don't see. But I think that's what the Spirit is doing, right? The Spirit is just giving us a clue that I'm here, you're not alone, I'm with you, I'm helping you. For some it might be a message of comfort. For others, it might be a warning that you're heading into danger and you should steer clear. Now, the third gift is one of the ways that the Holy Spirit helps the church to steer away from error or manipulation. And that's this gift of distinguishing between spirits. See, when our hearts are open to hearing from God, it also means we're kind of vulnerable to other voices that might want to speak into our lives. There are other voices out there that want to stir up our selfish desires and then tell us, yeah, that's what God wants you to do. And there's charlatans out there who are just happy to manipulate the truth and get us involved in their things for their agenda, but they're not actually speaking things that are for our interest. Maybe that includes the creepy guy who tells the girl, "God told me we're supposed to get together," right? Any girls know about those stories? I know, maybe there's girls who do that too, but I hear more guys that do that. The Holy Spirit knows that we can be in danger, and so He gives people, some people, this gift of distinguishing between spirits. So, sometimes, maybe, you have this kind of situation where you just know when the Holy Ghost makes you delete the whole text and just reply with, "Okay, thank you, Mr. Bean." Well, I've certainly been in situations where there's just a little bit of incongruence between the message that someone says and the tone that they say it. And it just makes me go, you know what? I'm not sure I'm comfortable with you taking this position of influence, or I think this is not going to work. Sometimes there's just that sense of like, I think we're heading into gossip here and this is going to turn into division. And I've had to sort of nudge someone that way, or someone has had to nudge me that way as well. The Holy Spirit also knows that sometimes it's hard to discern between God's voice and just my own ideas. Some people seem to have a unique ability to help another person sense this is God's nudging, this is just a wacky idea, this is God speaking, this is just your fear speaking, or whatever it is. There are people with that gift of spiritual direction, if you want to call it that. And I've definitely had a few mentors in my life that have helped me to distinguish between the spirits that are speaking to me. And I think God has used me that way for others as well. The Holy Spirit is perfectly wise. He's the source of the wisdom we need, and He loves giving His wisdom to people who are open to His influence. But the question is this just something that whenever the Holy Spirit wants to do it, He just kind of drops it in and we just start speaking, or are there things that, you know, make it more possible for the Spirit to speak in this way? Well, there is the story in the Old Testament about the donkey who spoke to a particularly obnoxious and stubborn person, but I don't know if that's kind of the general thing that God is looking for. He can use donkeys, but I think He wants to use intelligent people. So we can cultivate a readiness for the wisdom and discernment that the Holy Spirit wants to give us. Now, I think it's important to understand that when the Holy Spirit speaks, it's a lot of times not sort of an audible voice, right? You couldn't kind of press record on your phone and you'd get the voice of the Holy Spirit if it was speaking. It's often just through our imagination, or through nudges that we feel, impressions that we're given, or phrases, things that come into our thoughts. This is how the Holy Spirit interacts with us. So I think that we can then, if we have some control over our thoughts, we can put some raw materials there for the Holy Spirit to use in speaking in us and through us. So here's a few ideas. First of all, I think we need a learner's posture. A learner's posture. In Luke 10, Jesus is instructing His disciples about the mission that He's going to be sending them on, and He just suddenly bursts out in prayer. It says, "At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, 'I praise You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because You have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children.'" See, there's something about arrogance and thinking we're really smart that can sometimes shut us right off from how God wants to speak. And in the kingdom of God, we need to recognize that on a lot of levels, we are still little children. And when we have that attitude, it makes us more available to the Spirit to speak. The second thing that we can do is to become familiar with God's voice. Excuse me. To become familiar with God's voice. Dallas Willard says that God is not a mumbling trickster. I like that. God's voice has a certain weight, a certain spirit, and a certain content, and we can recognize it. So what's the weight of God's voice? Willard points out that when God is speaking, it's generally clear and direct. The teachers of Jesus' day were often having to kind of footnote and defend and argue everything they say. Often when we see the devil coming in Scripture, he's confusing, he's putting an innuendo, he's misrepresenting things, all of that kind of thing. But when Jesus was speaking, he was recognized as having true authority. And that's the way the Holy Spirit speaks as well. He seldom kind of argues and persuades, and he certainly doesn't whine to try and get us to do things. He just speaks, and our heart knows that's what we needed to hear. The weight of God's voice. So what's the spirit of God's voice? Well, it will be like Jesus. James tells us, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. The voice of the Spirit, when he speaks through his people, is always going to pass the test of love. It's always going to promote peace and unity and holiness and the strengthening of the church. The Spirit of God's voice. Last of all, what's the content of the Spirit's voice? 1 John 4 says, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So what's the content of the Spirit's voice? The Holy Spirit will never lead us to disobey the Scriptures or to discard the Scriptures' witness to Jesus. The Spirit will always call us to deeper obedience to Jesus Christ as Lord. And I think the third thing that we can do to sort of pave the ground for the Holy Spirit to come, and this is an example of the Holy Spirit speaking, by the way, as I prayed about preaching this morning, this extra little part that I don't have slides for came. So that's how the Spirit speaks sometimes too. But I think we need to make room for the Spirit to speak. Often we just sort of drive through and we know what we're going to do with this meeting. We know what we're going to do when we pray. We know how this conversation's going to go. And we don't make room and say, okay, we're just going to stop for a moment and listen. See if the Spirit leaves us a thought or an impression or a picture. Maybe before we go into a meeting or before we gather for worship or before we go for coffee with someone, we just sit and we pray and we ask the Spirit, Spirit, is there anything that you want me to share today? Anything you want to say to me as I prepare for this? Or maybe when someone shares a request or a need, that before we kind of barrel in and solve it, we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. Can we make room for the Spirit to speak? I want to take a moment to speak to those who maybe feel like you've never experienced the Spirit's voice. And that can be tough, especially if you're in an environment where it feels like everyone around you always gets a voice from God, but you just never get one. Paul tells Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See that? Thoroughly equipped. That seems pretty comprehensive. Even if you don't feel like you get like impressions or a voice of God, you have been given Scripture. And we're told that if we would study this with the counsel of other people, with the help of the Holy Spirit, and we apply it to our lives, that we will be thoroughly equipped. We're not lesser Christians because this is how we walk. But at the same time, we are reminded again and again by Jesus that we can keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking, and the Holy Spirit will be given to us by our loving Heavenly Father. And I'd also say this, that if you feel like it feels like sometimes there's just a big ceiling, that you'd ask God to help you pay attention. years ago, I was going for a walk with a good friend of mine in the forest, and he just noticed that as we walked, I was just always like this. And he just said, "Hey, Tim, you gotta like put your head up. Dude, look around you. It's so beautiful here." I've seriously never forgotten that. Every time I start walking in a forest, I feel this like, I feel that phrase saying, "Look up. Look at the greens, look at the birds, listen to the sounds," and I just pay attention. And I think sometimes that's what we need to do in terms of sensing what God is doing as well. That God would just remind us, "I'm here, I'm still working. Put your head up, look and see where I'm acting. The Spirit is at work all around you." The author of Hebrews says to the Christians he's writing to, who are faltering and worrying about their faith, he says, "Solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." I think what he's saying there is when you want this solid food of God's personal disclosures to you, one of the ways that you become capable and mature enough to handle those things is by just applying the things you already know. And that as you do this, by constant use, you train yourself to distinguish good from evil. So we pray, "Oh God, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better." Now there's three important caveats for these gifts before we end. The first thing Paul wants us to know is that these gifts, which were so highly prized in Corinth, were just a few among many gifts. He just throws them in a big long list. As cool as it is to receive some special revelation from God, some special word, it's no more spiritual than service, administration, tongues, intercession, whatever it is. We all have a gift. And this is one of the ways the Spirit shows up. The second thing is that the same thing applies to these gifts as applies to all the others. 1 Corinthians 12:7, right? Each one, the manifestation of the gift is given for the common good. For the common good. This is the Spirit's way of building up the church, not advancing our ministry reputation or our career. This is about the Spirit building up the church. And thirdly, Sam Storm says that the best solution to abuse or misuse is not disuse, but proper use. Now, that's a big sentence, but the best solution to abuse or misuse is not disuse, but proper use. I think all of us can think of those times, whether you just read it in the news or maybe you were part of a community, when these gifts got used in some wacky ways, and you're just like, "I'm not sure I want to go there anymore." But we run the risk of missing something. So we need to follow what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5. "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil." If we're too suspicious, we run the risk of squandering something that God is giving to us for our good. He's given us tools, and we can judge and make judgments about these things. So if a message isn't contradictory to Scripture, and it doesn't break the law of love, sometimes we just need to test it, try it, put it out there, walk in that direction. And if you suddenly hit a wall, maybe it wasn't from God. If you speak it to someone and they just look at you blankly, maybe it wasn't from God, but that's totally okay. We have to give ourselves sort of the freedom to get it wrong sometimes in order to have, you know, feel the confidence to get it right. So we test these things. Now, I just want to close by reminding us that the ultimate word of wisdom, the ultimate word of knowledge has been given to us. Paul says to the Corinthians, "It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom from God." In Colossians, Paul says, "In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Jesus is the word that speaks into the darkness and the confusion of our lives and makes the truth as clear as possible. God is love. God is with us. You are loved. You are chosen and forgiven and secure. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are God's workmanship. You are rescued and redeemed. How do you know this? The word has been given to you in Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, crucified for your sins, died, buried, raised from the dead, and ascended to the Father. The word has been spoken as clearly as it could possibly be spoken to us. So, I want to invite us as we close, again, to come for prayer, to be prayed for, to open up our lives again to the speaking of the Spirit. The prayer that is on my heart for you is the one I've mentioned many times through our time together from Ephesians chapter 1. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Maybe you're longing for a deeper walk with God. Maybe you have a particular decision that you're not sure which direction to go, and you're asking God for wisdom. Maybe you are longing to be able to speak something of encouragement and wisdom to someone in your life that you know needs it. Maybe you're trying to distinguish between God's voice and the other voices in your life. Or maybe you're a person who for the first time needs to invite Jesus, the wisdom of God, to enter into your life, to let him be Lord. Maybe there's another need on your heart. We would love to pray for you. We'd love to come alongside of you and to listen to God with you and perhaps see if God has something to say to you. Oh God, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. Father in heaven, Lord Jesus Christ, Spirit of wisdom and revelation, we welcome you. We open our hearts to you. We invite you to speak. Bring to mind scriptures, pictures, images, impressions. Give us your wisdom. Give us your revelation. Give us your truth. We long for you. We trust in you. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.